Welcome to Deep Dive into Water Safety. We started this program based on the 2025 Water Safety Plan that says, let's be safe in the water. And what came out of that plan was some startling statistics. We have the second highest drowning rate in the country in Hawaii. Drowning is the leading cause of children 1 to 15. We have tourists that are drowning predominantly from snorkeling, and only 2% of our second graders know anything about water safety education. And that's pretty much the top of the statistics that John Kalei Carter has actually identified for us in some interesting segmentation he did in his research to show that Hawaiians are drowning at higher rates than anybody else. And that has all been covered in Civil Beat in our news stories lately. And so Annie was really receptive to doing the show on water safety because we kept saying drowning and drownings. And it's one thing that's great about KKCR that they're flexible when you have an issue that you want to amplify, they're ready to give you the time to do it. So this is our fifth episode of this water safe deep dive into water safety, and we've had people locally, nationally, and internationally. And today I'm really it's going to be a fun interview because I consider these people friends, not just water safety experts, and I convinced them to come on. They are from Brighton in the UK, and we met a year ago when they planned with Keith Hopkins, a friend of theirs and their families, and they came to Hawaii. It was an amazing trip they had planned forever. And we were lucky to meet them on Kauai because they came to the Hanalei Canoe Club, paddled with us, met some of the guards, and then did the most amazing thing because it was their trip. One of our board members called up David and said, "We've got some kids out in Salt Pond who are here. And wouldn't that be great if you came and did a water safety clinic?" And they all drove out and did it, which was fantastic. And so we've kept in touch ever since, and I've enjoyed knowing them, and I consider them friends. And David is here because I convinced him and to bring Tia, who is a lifeguard in Brighton. And I'm excited for that because we have very few lifeguards here in Kauai, but we just got a new female lifeguard hired. And when she feels she can come on to talk, she will, because she won't start till September 1st. So, welcome both of you to Deep Dive into Water Safety.
Thank you very much. Lovely to see you. And hello to everybody in Kuwait.
Yes. Well, it's kind of rainy today. And, as you can
Oh,
see, kind of in the background.
you'll have warm rain there, not like here. It's okay.
So let's start, David. Tell me how you got into water safety and tell me about Surf Life Saving Great Britain. So wherever you want to start.
I started, as most people would, as a surfer when I was in my early 20s. I came from a town which was away from the coast. So when I did actually come to live by the coast, I was like being on holiday every day. So whenever I could, I started to surf. I then started what became the world's biggest beach festival called Paddle Around the Pier Beach Festival and I ran that for about 20 years. And that had on average around 50,000 people attending that. We'd used it over a weekend, once every year. And I realized that my love of the ocean, my campaigning for cleaner seas and safer seas, all rolled into one. So when there was the opportunity to get involved in Brighton Surf Lifesaving Club, I jumped at it. The issue we had with Brighton Surf Lifesaving Club at the time was it was very student-centric and no youngsters. And the only way to grow a surf lifesaving club is to have youngsters because they bring parents in. And so, on the back of that, that's how I started to get involved in Brighton Surf Lifesaving Club, brought more parents in, brought more kids into the club, and the club has just grown from there.
So who works at the Surf Life Saving Club? It's a
So,
club.
it's a club, but it's all voluntary. So we all give our time everyone. Some of us give hours every day, some just work on it, we'll volunteer on a Saturday to teach. Some will Saturday, Sundays, but there are, I think there's something to do probably 5 or 6 days a week, potentially. But it's everybody's voluntary.
How many people do you have in this club?
So at the moment, we've got around 360 members. And we have around, I would suggest, 30 to 40 trainers and coaches.
That's really impressive. How does that relate to the Royal Navy Lifeboat Institute? How does that?
So the RNLI run
Yes.
they run the beaches as a commercial operation.
Okay.
We act Surf Life Saving Great Britain pretty much acts as a feeder organisation. We train the kids up and the youth and the adults up to go, and they will then go and join the RNLI. So Tia currently is working for the RNLI on the beach. There are very few private beaches now in the UK. Most are run by the RNLI.
That's interesting. So you decided what would be great to talk about is this new program you've started, the Sandhoppers. And I realized because we've been talking a lot here in Hawaii about water education for young children in schools. And we've had some grassroots opportunities going, like with Nakama Kai. And some other people on different islands trying to do things, but we haven't done something on a really broad basis. This looks really interesting. And when I started to look into what you're doing, I noticed that the United States Lifeguard Association has two states that now offer water safety education from the 5 to 7 year old level, New Jersey and California. I had no idea. And I wouldn't have known until you told me, let's talk about sandhoppers. So tell me some more about sandhoppers.
It's a great scheme because normally for surf lifesaving clubs in the UK, they would normally start at age 8 years old and then run all the way
Right.
up. I think our oldest member's 75 who's still competing in surf lifesaving sport. But the kids, when I realized that we were missing out on that huge, that really important age group of age 5 to 7 or 5 to 8, in fact, we run. And the joy of this is that the parents have to get in the water with the children. What the clubs shouldn't be is a case of the parent just send the child along and then just flicking the child at the club and saying, teach them something. By getting the parents involved as well, it means you're getting a double whammy on the education. You're telling the parents things that they didn't realize as you're teaching the kids, and vice versa. And by doing that, you're instilling that lifestyle effectively of loving the beach, respecting the beach, respecting their environment. And teaching, I mean, kids at that age, you're not teaching them to rescue someone. You're teaching them to recognize what it looks like when someone's in trouble and who to call. So it's a very early gradual education program to get them confident in the water. So an example, we started this 3 months ago. We only run it for the summer because it's obviously cold here in the winter.
Right.
But the majority of the kids wouldn't even get their feet wet. They were terrified. Last week, I had them jumping off a boat, swimming 10 meters to another board, climbing over that, jumping to swimming to another board, and they were doing potentially 40, 50 meter swims.
How did you do that?
It's just playing games in the water with them and realizing it's things like can they float on their back, which took a couple of weeks to get them used to being to be able to float on their back, and then get them to float on their front and see. But they wouldn't float on their front; they don't want to get their face wet. Then you have a competition who can hold the breath the longest. So then they lie in their front and they hold their breath. And then you go, well, you've just swum with your face, you've put your face in the water. So now let's do that and do some swim strokes. And all of a sudden, before they realize, they're actually swimming.
And so, how are the parents in this?
Oh, they're loving it. They're absolutely loving it. I think it's a toss-up actually who enjoys it more, the kids or the parents. Because you get another really good example is I'll have a child, an adult standing with their legs apart, and you say to the kid, swim underneath your parents' legs. To again, oh, they can't do that, they're terrified. So then you say to them, okay, kids, you stand with your legs apart. Parents, you have to swim under your children's legs, which of course knocks the child over. The kid goes underwater, comes up absolutely laughing, whereas before they'd be crying. So it's not tricking them, but it's just working games in that make them become more confident, allow them to be more confident without, I just keep their interest going, really.
How did you come up with all these games?
Oh, I just make it up. No. It's just making games up. It's talking about points of the compass. It's doing things which a kid of five can't really describe where they live. So you're telling them to look for points of reference. If they see someone that's in trouble, what points of reference could they give to someone to say, describe where they are? And it's all little things like
That's really brilliant, as you would say,
that.
because are you going to make this as a model for the UK, or is it
Well,
in other places?
there are three or four clubs that run Sandhoppers already in the UK, and it's certainly something which is growing, and we're trying with Surf Life Saving Great Britain to grow this far more, because we realise if you get the parent and the child involved, you've got a far greater impact, because they're going to go away, they're going to talk about it, they're going to practice it, they're going to say, what did you learn, what did you do, and they can talk about it together. And like I say, a lot of the time parents are equally as educated as the children by the time they finish.
Yes, this seems to be an issue here when Dwayne DeSoto said that we've really neglected our kids, but most of the kids that aren't swimming, their parents don't swim. And so they don't take them to the beach because they're fearful. Everybody's fearful. And you're right, you drop them off at a lesson, but that doesn't keep the dynamic going about anybody understanding because we're all in this together, right? And so
Sure,
I think
sure.
that's a great program
I
that you're
think the issue you have, I think, because everyone has to work so hard and have multiple jobs to live in your beautiful island, it's the lack of time, I presume, that most people have
Yes.
when they're working so many jobs. But if you can convince parents to get involved, and what we've found is parents getting involved, they then become our trainers. And then the kids will grow up, but the adult will then stay with the club and continue to train and teach kids. So it's an ongoing process, really. But it's getting people, they don't even have to be lifeguards to start off with. They have to be able to swim, obviously, or you can run swim programs. We've had parents, my treasurer for my club couldn't swim when she first started. I didn't believe her until I put her in a pool and went, oh, no, she can't, can she? And hooked her out very quickly. But it's giving people the confidence to come and have a go. Not be ashamed and just enjoy splashing around in the water. The swimming comes from that.
Well, Tia, I'm going to bring you into this conversation since you have a role model as a father who's a waterman and a water safety advocate. How did you go from being this lovely girl that I've seen grow up here, to being a lifeguard? How did all that happen?
Well, I mean, it started off. I started off in the club. My dad and my brother both love the ocean like a bunch, and it kind of led to me going in the water and building up my confidence. And then once I was about 7 years old, I joined the club myself. And it's such an amazing opportunity because you get to with the Sandhoppers, you get to develop your skills whilst also having fun. And it doesn't matter who you are, like if you're a boy, girl, everyone has fun. And you don't realize that you're learning all your first aid and rescues because it's done in a really good process in which you learn it over the years of the club. So I've went through all of the nippers, which is the younger years, to
Yes.
juniors, to youth, to the lifeguards, and I've gained all of these skills to then put them into my lifeguard course and then get my lifeguard qualification.
And that just happened recently, right?
Yeah, about a year ago now. So I'm now working on the beach as a lifeguard.
And tell me something about that. I just want to know, I how is it? I mean, there's a lot of girls that
Amazing.
are lifeguards, correct? In
Again, sorry.
There's a lot of lifeguards, girl lifeguards in
Yeah,
Britain.
100%. Yeah, they've all most of them have stemmed from Brighton, especially Brighton Surf Life Saving Club. It's we've got more of a club structure in England, and it allows, like I said, people to learn the skills rather than focus on anything else, and then they can get their lifeguard qualification through Surf Life Saving Great Britain, and then that could be placed into the RNLI lifeguard service.
Wow, that's very impressive. We were really excited to have Mike Tipton on, and that was only because David Samuel got me that resource. And we collaborated with Find Your Float. The lifeguards here did, the junior lifeguards did a Find Your Float, floated, and we sent that piece in to him to be part of his campaign, which was cool.
Absolutely
Well,
fantastic.
yeah.
It's that cross That cross, just talking and sharing of knowledge and going, I've got this idea. Have you tried this? And someone else will say, oh, I've tried this, but that didn't work, but I've done this. And you go, oh, that's a really good idea. So the more
Exactly.
people talk and share this resource that we all
I
have,
agree. It's
it's fantastic.
really the reason we started this show, because we want to amplify the message that drowning is preventable. And we don't need to just talk to local people. We need to talk to national and international people, because it's not just a national health crisis, it's a global health crisis. And Mike Tipton, I think, was great when he said he was chairing the Global Climate and Health Summit, which just happened, which is amazing because of everything that's happening in the climate. We've got floods, we've got fires, and we've experienced floods here on Kauai. We've experienced fires on Maui. And that's all part of this whole problem we have. And the more people we can get learning water safety issues in our state, the better off we're going to be. So.
And you know what? It's also a really good educational pathway for people. If they come in and train to be a lifeguard and they have those skills, we have an awful lot of people that go on to become paramedics, doctors, they go on to become firefighters, they become, emergency service workers.
That's
So
exactly right.
it gives you an amazing grounding, a community grounding.
Yes. I've seen that with the two lifeguards that we've interviewed so far, and some have been lifeguards, gone on to be firemen, and then they've taken on to the roles. We have a pulse point response, which is a big piece that we use here. I don't know if you're familiar with that in the UK. It's
No,
an
what's that?
So if you, it's called pulse point respond. So if you are CPR trained and you're a lifeguard, a fireman, if there's a situation near you, you'll get an alert. So if you were in a store and somebody's having a heart attack, you could be somebody first to respond.
Yeah.
And we've put that in place here in Kauai, and Chris Pico is one of the lifeguards who did that because he had a daughter and he was living way out where there was no reception, and he felt it was really important to do it. And so he's got a lot of nurses on it, he's got a lot of first responders on it, and they saved somebody's life just because they all got it on their app and they were available and they made it happen quicker than
What a
if it
fantastic
was.
initiative. What a fantastic initiative.
Yes. Do you have anything like that
We
in?
have community responders.
Yes.
So there are community responders all over the area. And they are local, obviously, to the area. So they will respond primarily first if they can. There's a lot of people around now at our first aid train, which is great, but you often have to fight people off and try and find the most qualified as people come in these days. And that's one of the key things about the Surf Lifesaving Club as well. The kids don't just learn about the water, they learn very much about being lifesavers. And a
Yes.
lot of the kids will never use those skills potentially on the beach, but they will in a supermarket or in the local cinema or at their local school or church hall.
Exactly. That's what Shirley Dorego told us. Her son drowned, and then she started this foundation, and she's been doing that. And some of the skills she taught young kids, they've helped each other. But they also teach CPR. So, are you doing any CPR work?
So I run a community CPR workshops as
I saw
well.
that one thing you posted to us.
Had my Kauai lifeguard cap on when I did
Yes.
it,
I have mine here too.
obviously. We do that in the community as much as we possibly can. I love that hat. That's
Wear it all the time.
So we do, yeah, so we've got the community aspect of it. And then we also run a schools program, which you're aware of. At its peak before COVID, we were hitting 800 kids over like a 3 month period. And that's
A
inviting a
lot of
school.
kids.
That's 34 kids a day would come down as a class and we'd teach them what it meant to be a lifeguard, where it was safe to swim, what lifeguard flags all meant. We did a little bit around beach flags, about games and things on the beach. But also then we spent at least an hour with them doing basic life support, so basic CPR. And choking, because they're the two aspects which, if you've got a kid who can do the basics, just they're not afraid to have a go. We had a fight where we had one of our kids that did it actually saved their youngster. Their kid must have been about 8 or 9, and they saved their young sister's life, who was choking, who was about 5 years old, purely on what they'd actually learned in this one day course. So that's so
Wow.
important.
So the courses you're doing for 3 months in the summer, and you come to this course for sandhoppers, is it a week-long course or how
So
do you go ahead?
the school's program we run as a daily course. So they come for one day, just literally one day. We put them in the
Okay.
water at the end of the day, teach them how to swim safely in the sea, get used to the sea. A lot of kids in Brighton have never been in the sea. They're
Yes.
afraid of it. So we do that
Right.
with them. The
That's true here too.
yeah. And it's I think it's that fear. If you can break down the fear, then they're less likely to panic, therefore less likely to drown.
So you do it one day for each school or for what
Yeah,
each
well, each
class?
school will send a class, and we have one. We could cope with one class a day, and over 3 months, that's around 800 kids.
Oh my. Okay.
Yeah, then this obviously the sandhoppers we're just running for the summer months just because it's cold, but the rest of the club runs pretty much all year round. So in the winter, our kids are in 5 and 6 millimeter thick neoprene with hoods on, gloves on, boots on,
I've
freezing.
seen these visuals.
Very hardcore.
So, what else do you want to tell me about sandhoppers? Tia, what do you want to say anything being a lifeguard in terms of how valuable this program is? Or, we have the junior lifeguard program here. How
Yeah.
would you?
Sandhoppers is an amazing program to have, as it's so key for them to learn at such a young age.
Yeah.
Like at the beaches I lifeguard at, it's a really, really safe beach. However, I've seen kids, we've got quite a steep beach and they tend to drop in and they don't know how to swim. And I think it's such a necessity, of which sandhoppers gives them the opportunity to learn and develop those skills and to stay safe, which I think is such a
Right.
key role, especially when they live right by the sea.
And this is just a brand new program, right?
Yeah, for us, we've been running it 2 years. One of the other clubs in the UK have done a couple of years before that as well. So,
This
but it
basically.
is growing. It's growing. It's relatively new, and it's growing. I mean, it's important. I mean, for a city like Brighton, I'll give you some statistics.
Yes.
So, for Brighton, we have on per day 32,328 average visitors per day.
Wow. That's a lot.
So, if you
That's
take
why
that.
I like the coast. That's why I
It is
like
a bit
the
so
I
because
was
we're quite
probably
close
one of those.
because we're close to London, we get a lot of it. So that if you take one third of those visitors that come down to visit, come to the beach, that's 10,776 people will visit the beach every day,
Oh,
which is
that's
why it's so important. And the problem is when they come to the beach, it's almost too late to educate them at that stage. People don't want to be educated at that stage.
no,
You know.
that's correct.
We
There
need to educate
has to
people before they come to the beach. So when they're at home, when they're watching TV, when they're just at, I think it's awful that all the rental companies and the Airbnbs of this world and the airlines are not putting this safety message out. Here's how you're safe on a beach. It should be part of it all the time.
I agree. We're struggling with that here. Definitely struggling with that.
I think globally, I think we can have more of an effect. I think with all the With everyone coming together like we are now talking like
Yes.
this, I think it will happen.
That's great news, because I feel it's just a struggle to get people to have just a consistent message here in our state,
Yeah.
because we have one message here, one message there, and nobody's paying attention. We need one single message. And we have, you probably saw in the kiosk when you came to choir, maybe not, when you picked up your luggage, you didn't want to listen to something, probably. But we have messages. But I have to say, the thing I listened to that was pretty good was Angus Sampson for the Royal Navy Lifeboat Institute doing a ad, which I thought really caught people's attention. We don't do anything like that. Have you seen that one?
Yeah. I think the more media people put out,
Yes.
the more interesting media them think, more that make people think about, what water, what the danger is around it. Just to switch on, we have a massive issue where we are with people jumping off our local pier, and we have a very large tidal range. So people will do it at high tide, and in theory, it's not that dangerous at high tide.
Right.
But then people will see people doing that, go and have a drink, come out and go, oh, I'm going to do that now. The tide is now 3 meters shallower. And they wear their kneecaps as earrings, and they're, that's it. They're done. know,
That's really
they're on a wheelchair. If they're lucky, they're in a wheelchair for the rest of their life. And it's a common occurrence, isn't it? Maybe
awful.
5 or 6 times a year that
And
happens.
even you don't, you have signs up on the pier, but that doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. With those sort of visitor numbers, you're fighting. You kind of just kind of you're firefighting all the time, which is
Right.
why it's so important we try and catch people before.
And you're right, it should be some kind of collective collaboration that we do to make it a priority everywhere, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have the advantage of having some really big names, sort of Jason,
Jason Momoa.
Jason Momoa, even Dwayne the Rock Johnson. I mean, people
Yes.
like that. You know, people. Okay, people laugh at them sometimes, but they are really good role models. And
Yes.
if they put the message out
I
on their
agree.
Instagram accounts, their socials, it would have a huge impact.
Yes, it would. You have people in Britain?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. But you know, the people associate with being water people.
I see.
I think that's what's really key
Okay.
as well. But yeah, you're right. We do have people in Britain. Yeah. I'll ask the king, don't worry. On your behalf.
I don't know who Angus Sampson is, but I thought he was pretty cool. I thought he
Yeah.
did a good job. I liked the sense of humor he had, that he caught my attention with the commercial he did. So, yeah, but that's just me, I guess. But I agree. People that are water people, that people can go, oh, yes. I mean, we have Laird Hamilton here too, is also a
Course you
water
do.
person. Lives on Kauai. Another person that people go, wow, he's done all these things, and you
But
know,
he's the sort of person that could go into a school and have a huge impact
yes,
because people would listen to him.
right.
You know, that's what's.
I would like to just see the water safety education in the schools, which we're trying to fight for. But as Mike Tipton said, you don't, he has some kind of course module that he has tried out in fourth grade, but
Yeah, we're struggling as well. It's not curriculum still at the moment, is it?
no, I mean, he came into my college the other day. People my age didn't even know half the stuff my dad was talking about cold water shock and tombstoning and stuff like that, which
I
is such a
don't know what
forgotten thing.
tombstoning is. What's tombstoning? I didn't hear
So
that.
it's sorry, the dog's barking. The dog's barking
I've
away.
got dogs. I've got a
Sorry.
dog.
So tombstoning is when people will jump off a pier or jump off a rock groin. And basically, it's a double entendre, really, not double entendre. It's a double meaning of the word because off the loft and they'll die, so it's a tombstone. But they're actually
I
going
see.
in like a tombstone, and it's just a lack of education from people understanding, especially when they do it around river mouths, when you've
Yes.
got salt water and saline water, different mixed things float at different depths. They will look and go, "Well, there's nothing in the water, but 2 feet or you know 2 feet below the water, there's a plank of wood," and they'll jump in, and yeah, massive issues.
Right.
So it's just
Jump
educating
off.
people to think a little bit more again.
So, what else did I want to ask you? How are you collaborating with Exmouth, with Keith? Do
With
you still
Keith,
work with him?
yeah. So we share. I saw him 2 weeks ago. We worked the beach together. We had our national surf lifesaving championship, so we were both
Yes,
working
that's what
the
I
same
want
week.
to talk about. I saw all those, it was beautiful setting, all those people. Tell me
Yeah,
about that.
it was a great competition. We have it once a year. There are regional events, and then there's one big national event, and attended by, oh gosh, I think probably about 2.5, no more than that.
Probably more, 3.5.
More than that, but yeah, about 3,500, 4,000 people attended and
Wow.
competed. So yeah, it's a very long day, I can tell you, Margaret. It's a very long
You
day.
were in charge of that.
And we would do, well, I was in charge of the water safety on the beach. Yeah.
And what was that? What responsibility did you have doing that? How did you orchestrate that with all your volunteers?
Well, because we have volunteer boat crews out, we've got inshore rescue boats out, we've got people on boards. Luckily, most people being in a surf lifesaving club can swim, so it's not too much of a risk. It's quite a low risk one, who. But we still had a 14-year-old that almost had a heart attack, and we had to take out. So, you know, but underlying conditions which you don't know about. So it is an important job, and it's a, you know, you've got to have eyes in the back of your head, shall we say, all the time.
Do you hear my dog?
Yeah.
He's like a big white wolf. Seriously. What kind of dog do you have? I'm off topic here.
Staffordshire Bull Terrier.
Oh, a bull terrier.
Yeah, he's a lovely
Very
dog.
fun.
Very
Him is
beautiful
great.
nature.
Yes.
Can't swim though.
He can't swim?
Oh, he's
No.
too heavy. He's like a land hip.
Terrified of it.
It's like a land hippo. He sinks.
Do you give him a life vest?
He can run on the bottom, and that's about all he can do.
In
I
a family of water people.
know. I'm ashamed, really, but never mind. Oh,
Well, here we are. We're in Kauai trying to do the show, and I am so pleased that you both came on. I want to know what you could tell our female guards here on Kauai, because we don't have that many. And you being one of those girls on the Brighton Royal Navy Lifeboat Institute. I'll get that right one of these days.
Royal National
National
Lifeboat, Royal National
National
Lifeboat
Lifeboat.
Institution. There you go.
There anything you could say to, I mean, because these girls, this one girl encouraged, and she now is a lifeguard. She's so excited to take on the job. It's the best thing that ever happened to her. So I don't know.
I'd say, I mean, if you're passionate about the water, be a lifeguard. It's literally all I've dreamt about since I was a kid, because all I've been in is the ocean. All I've ever dreamt about was being a lifeguard. It's been my dream job for like 17 years, literally since I was born. It's
Wow.
like a passion to me. And if you're passionate about the ocean and about keeping people safe, it's 100% the way to go. It's so rewarding as well, seeing people, and people like on the beach, they just thank you for the stuff that you're doing as well. It's such a rewarding job, and I'd recommend it to anyone that's passionate about the sea.
That's great. So, David, what and you said, which was really, I thought, a great comment. You can be a lifeguard, you can do it forever. And here we're doing it every month of the year, and you're not doing it every month of the year in Brighton. Is it a every month situation that you're a guard, or is it just during the summer, or?
Yeah, so our season starts in May and finishes in September. So it's
Right.
only really key for the summer months.
Because
Yeah.
here it's really kind of a career, because it's 12 out of the year, but the pathway to other things that help people makes total sense, that people go on to be paramedics or firemen or policemen or doctors or whatever.
We had a girl that came to us years ago, and she really struggled with a lifeguard award, and we really put some time in with her, really helped her, kept her going, and she got her lifeguard award. She's subsequently now gone on. She's now got her yacht masters. She's now captaining in super yachts, and she's making a career out of that. And that's all based on the fact that we stuck with her and we pushed her and stayed with her all the time, and she got a great qualification from it and a love of the ocean.
Wow. I think this club is very impressive. Very, very impressive.
You know, can I just say about the girls that the
Yes.
girls have a different approach? The girls are make equally good lifeguards. Absolutely, they do. They've got the power, they've got the strength, but they've also got a different approach. So if they have to defuse a situation, a guy will obviously front up to another guy. Where if you've got a girl there, they won't front up so much. They can defuse a situation. And also, we all know that prevention is really key. So if you can see something before it happens, and girls are really good at that, they're much better at being able to see something before it's going to happen, go and deal with it. So if you get wet, you know, you're lost
Dry lifeguard is a
already.
good lifeguard.
A dry lifeguard is a good lifeguard. There you go.
Wow, that's a great message. That's a great, great message. I really appreciate that for all the girls that are listening and the guys that are listening.
Absolutely.
So here we are, you doing your sandhoppers. We haven't done anything like that yet, which I think would be great if they would do that, if they could figure out a way to do that during junior lifeguards or a day at school to bring kids out and run that kind of program. Because I'm hearing that from Mike Tipton, and I'm seeing it now in New Jersey and California. And Hawaii wants to be a leader in water safety, and I think they need to follow in the footsteps of programs like yours, because because it makes total sense.
And it's very easy to run, Margaret. It's so easy to run. You just need one person that's inspired to say, right, let's get everyone together. You know, this is what we're going to do today. And it's one day a week. For stand-up, it's just literally, it's an hour, one day a week.
Maybe we need to fly you and Tia out to start our
You know
program.
what? That's what I think, all the educate the junior lifeguard programs and things like that. I
Yes.
would love we'd I'd love to take a Hawaiian lifeguard over here for a couple of months, or just for a month to do a visit and
Yes.
work with us, and vice versa, because this exchange of ideas and program is just so rich.
I agree with that. I agree with that 1,000%. When I
I
was
have a
talking.
wetsuit ready for them, don't worry.
I brought that up to Chad Listman. I thought it would be a great idea. You know, we learn from each other
We
a lot,
really do.
and then we improve each other's programs. And if I hadn't
Absolutely.
met you through the Canoe Club, I never probably would have maybe done this program or got people like Mike Tipton on or talked to you or whatever. Right? And it
That's
makes a
great.
huge, huge difference.
That's
So
brilliant.
if there was some message the two of you want to share about water safety to us around the world, what would it be? I mean, that's kind of a global question, but oh, but there was one other question. Are you using any new technologies or anything in the UK like AI or drones or dogs?
They're working on drones at the moment. They're
They
using
are.
drones, yeah, and they're using the automated remote controlled life rings. The issue you've got with those is they're only good if someone's conscious. If someone's unconscious, it's not going to be any good to you. So they're doing that. AI, I know, has been used for observations. There's a lot of research out there where you've got, if you're doing observations and you look at a seasoned lifeguard and they've done. Mike Tipton in particular has done tracking of people's eyes, and he'll do a new lifeguard and he'll track and looking for, they'll show them a film and they'll use that against a seasoned lifeguard, and their eye tracking is completely different. They'll still spot the same things, or the seasoned lifeguard will often spot more, but there's an awful lot of work being done on that. And I think AI as a model for looking like that, potentially as a camera on the beach and flagging things, may be something for the future.
Oh, that's very interesting because we have beaches here where there are no lifeguards, but the point is that's and Mike's involved in that.
Yeah, very much. He's the research. He's like the one of the world's leaders, if not the world
Yes.
leader in drowning prevention, and also understanding the how it happens, why it happens, you know. So yeah, he's an incredible person. I know you've already spoken to him. I've heard him on the program already. So yeah, fabulous.
And he's made an impact with everybody. I mean,
Yeah,
everybody's
and he's
watching.
a nice guy.
Yes, he was a very nice guy, just like the two of you coming on late in the evening. I don't know how to thank you enough. What else could you suggest for this program or anything else you'd like to say based on water safety here in Kauai that you've known? Because you've been here. You came here, you spent time, you met people on Oahu, you met people here, you met the guards. I think the exchange program makes total sense. We should work on something like
We'll
that.
sort that out. We will sort that out for sure. For me, it's about getting everyone to actually just enjoy their environment and make the most of it. I mean, you live in paradise for what I would see as paradise. It was my dream to come to Hawaii forever, and to come there and experience it was just incredible. But we all were very, I'm still blessed to live by the coast, and I enjoy my coast, and I try and swim in the sea at the moment in the summer every day. And it's just getting people to come and enjoy that vast free playground, which is the ocean and the beach, but do it safely.
That's
That's my
good.
that's for me. That's all I've got to say on it. What about you?
I'd say if you have any sort of passion for the ocean, express it and use it
Share it.
and share it and share your knowledge to make sure everyone else is safe and apply it. And especially if you're passionate about the ocean, like I was since I was a kid, use it, become a lifeguard, save people's lives.
That's great. That is fantastic. I can't wait to air this so everybody can hear. But it will be, on the archives right away so people can go to that because I don't know if Annie said we're turning this into a podcast. So it will go to podcast material and then it'll go out all over. But I think the more we collaborate, the more we keep each other informed, the more we amplify the message that drowning is preventable all together, wherever we live, the better it's going to be.
Very
So,
much so. I think, like you say, the more we work together, it's amplified, it we're a stronger force.
yes, I agree with that. So we have to keep it going. And if there's somebody you think should be on this show, let me know. You too,
Yeah,
Tia.
I've got a chap called AD Mayhew, who's you'll absolutely love, and I'll introduce you to him. So
Okay.
yeah.
That's
Otherwise.
wonderful. Thank you both for coming on. Is there anything else anybody wants to say here, Tia? No. David, we should keep talking.
Absolutely. It's been an absolute pleasure. Lovely to see you again.
Yes, it was great to see you, even though we're not in person. I hope I get to Brighton someday
I do
soon.
too. I do too.